Hey, welcome to the Circuit Rider Podcast. I'm Nick Brandt, and I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circuit Riders, and it is amazing to see how God is growing this missional community, both here and around the world. We have gotten so many testimonies of how this podcast has revived people's faith, empowered them into their purpose, and led them into a place of personal freedom. And right now, as the Circuit Riders, we're in a season of expansion, and we need the help and support of our whole community, including you, to meet those needs. So if Circuit Riders has been a source of encouragement, life, or a blessing to you, we are asking that you would become a monthly giver. Something powerful takes place when we move from just a place of receiving to taking personal responsibility in becoming a participant by giving. If you're ready to give, you can donate now at www.circuitriders.com/donate. Again, thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Okay, so this is what happens to me all the time. People always want to meet with me, and I feel horrible because more people want to meet with me than I can meet with them. And so, like, I feel like sometimes, like a doctor, like I'm just running from emergency to emergency, not always who I want to meet with, you know? So if it's like I get one text, please meet with me, I'm like, okay, yeah, let's meet. But like, please meet with me. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm upgrading your intensity. Okay, I need to talk right now. I'm like, what's going on? I call and but it seems like the same few questions keep coming up each of the time. Here are my top three. Number one, I feel condemned. I feel a general sense that I might be in trouble with God. I'm not sure he really approves of me. I don't know if I'm doing a good job. That's kind of the category of question number one. Question number two is, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Said usually like that. I don't know, panicked. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Like, I know, like, I'm not, you know, okay, so I'm like, okay, you don't know what you're doing in your life. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my purpose on earth is. I don't know what God wants to do in my life. I don't know what my giftings are. I don't know what, and they're like looking at me right there in that little coffee moment, like I'm going to have all the answers. They're just looking at me wide-eyed. Okay, and the third one is this general theme of I'm not enough. And it's I'm not enough for relationships. I'm not enough for acceptance. I'm not enough to be in a relationship. I'm not enough for God to provide for me. I'm not enough for God to provide a great job. I'm not enough to be part of a great community. I'm not enough to have a great calling or to be used by God in a profound way. And so a lot of times what I like to normally do is I approach one of these questions and I craft like this kind of motivational sermon where I break down the word and I try to give you great examples and make it memorable so you leave feeling like $100 or $1 million, hopefully. So you're feeling really great. But tonight, I just got to slow it way down. And we're going Bible study mode. Tonight, literally, I'm going to treat all of you like you come to my Young Guns Bible study. That's what it's called. It's a men's Bible study called Young Guns. And we meet every other week, usually on Tuesday nights. You can't come because there's no room in my living room anymore. And so, I'm sorry. So, we're going to all get included tonight because here's the truth. Our generation lives, has a different kind of relationship with truth than most other generations or a lot of other cultures in the world. Now, a lot of us would not say that you live your life by feelings, but that is really how most of us live in America. It just is. We live truly by what feels right, where the Bible has a completely different approach to truth, and it is that your feelings come out of your truth, not your truth determines your feelings. So, for example, like let me help you. So, I saw this quote. Can I read you this quote? So, I like creativity. Does anyone else like creativity? So, I follow a bunch of like creatives who do stuff, and they posted this quote. He goes, "Pessimists are often right. Optimists are often happy and wealthy." I love that quote. And what does he mean by that? This is what he's saying. He's going, if you're a pessimist, so you believe that everything is going to be bad, your future is going to be horrible, the glass is half empty, most times you will be right because your belief will determine that to be true. I'll never be anyone. So you never live in such a way to be someone. I'm never going to have anything. Well, then you don't live in a way of risk-taking to have something. I'll never be in a relationship. So you never walk up and ask. I'm not worthy of friendships. You never ask someone to go like, hey, let's become friends. Do you want to watch the football game? You just, oh man, no one loves me, oh. But then if you live with optimism, you assume the best is going to happen. All of a sudden, it's amazing how things begin to happen around you. This is an example that your belief really does determine how you live. It determines the reality all around you. So if your thinking is off, if the way you view things is off, if your view of truth is off, your life is off. And that's why a lot of times people go, what's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? And I'm like, okay, there is an answer, but there's a deeper answer. You need to get rooted in truth. You need to get rooted in truth. Because sometimes why I want to slow down the car is I can preach a message in such a way where you feel it's good. Think about that for a moment. I'm like, you do have a hope. You do have a calling. And for 45 minutes, I've been shredding your face off with one-liners and inspiring stories and jokes. And tonight you go home going, I feel so good, man. I do have a hope and I do have a calling. That Nick guy, I like him, man. I like that Nick guy. I have a hope and a calling and I feel so good. And you put some upper room music on, the upper room worship, and you're just like, oh Lord, thank you. Get black voices on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Then you wake up the next morning and the feeling begins to fade. And you're reaching for it. You get desperate. You put the same songs on and you're in the kitchen. Let the redeemed of the Lord. And you're like, I'm losing the feeling right now. And you're losing the feeling. And you're like, man, Lord, I pray. Like you move into a panic. And all of a sudden by Wednesday and Thursday, the condemnation you didn't feel on Monday night came back. The loneliness that you didn't feel on Monday night came back. Your sense of not knowing where you're going in life came back. And we live this bouncing in between of feeling like we have clarity and then all of a sudden we have no clarity. We oscillate between these two extremes of going, God, you love me, you're with me, I have a calling, I have a future, I have a hope, I'm enough, oh, this is amazing. And then Thursday, I don't know what's happening in my life, I want to leave. Where do you want to go? I don't know, I just want to leave how I think. And what happens is, what's so funny is, we love like prophetic prayer. At Circle Riders, at least. Maybe you don't. You're like, what is prophetic prayer? Is that like Gandalf stuff? No, it's in the Bible. It's hearing from the Lord. So you're like, hey, Nick, can you pray for me? And I'm like, man, I'm just sensing for you. The Lord is saying you're going to have an incredible week. And you're like, oh, I love this prayer. This is so good. Thank you, Nick. But again, Thursday is lost. Like, okay, let's have a moment. Are we ready for this? We're going to do a public poll. I do this thing called public poll in our Discord as a community. How many of that are part of the Circle Riders love the public polls? Okay, so we have a rule about public polls. This is how it works. I ask a question, and it's a Holy Spirit lie detector test, and you have to, everyone has to participate, and you have to honestly answer. It's part of the fun. Okay, how many of you here struggle with going in and out of believing that you are fully loved and accepted by God? Raise your hand really high. Really high, come on. Okay. Put your hand down. Okay, now I'm gonna ask you this. How many of you have at least had one powerful experience of God's love in your life? Can you raise your hand? Okay, so, right, like, we're doing the most. We're getting the worship going. We're doing the most. We got prayer teams rumbling for you. And you're saying that all of this spiritual, awesome power, Holy Spirit moving, and you're like, oh man, I'm completely, Lord, you love me. But Thursday, you've had how many powerful encounters with God's love? You're like, I'm just not sure he loves me anymore. I need a journal right now. You know, I don't know what your response is, but it's just, it's like, what is going on? And so we got to slow down the car. And here's what happens. Can I be more honest? Is this okay? Am I allowed to be honest? Wait, should I be less honest? I felt some of you wanted me to be less honest. More honest. Okay, more honest. Sometimes when I go, you got to believe the word. And like everyone's eyes glazes over. Isn't that what you're for, Nick? No. No. Right? It's because you feel a temporary sense of alignment because you're around my gift of faith. You feel a temporary sense of relief because you're around my confidence and trust in what the scriptures say. But when you have to stand on your own two feet on what the scriptures say for your life, some of you don't even know a verse to stand on. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying you literally don't know one. You're like, Jesus wept, but I don't know how that applies. Besides that, Jesus did cry with, he's crying with me right now. Right? Or some of you, you've read like so little, you're a cherry picker reader. How many of you are a cherry picker reader? Like, Lord, I just need a word today, God. Just
Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Lord, try again. Lord, give me a word for today. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devours the stubble and as dry grass sinks down the flame, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom go up like dust. And you're just like, we need Monday night ASAP, right? It's like, okay, so, right? Some of you are verse of the day types, right? You just get it. And some of it's on purpose, like you actually check the app. And some of you just scroll so much on Instagram, you eventually cross somebody who's posted a verse. But that's not enough. Everyone say, not enough.
Not enough.
Not enough. See, the truth is this, is at Monday nights, we don't want to just have great talks. That's awesome. I love great talks. I love providing great content with our team. We don't want to just have great worship. See, if you're not growing in your own confidence of the truth, then why are we here? Because the goal is I want you to grow as a leader if you're here. Because you know what? Someone, just like you, maybe need our confidence on a Monday night to strengthen you for your week. Why are there not people at your university, your high school, your workplace who, when they're supposed to be around you, you are elevating them into clarity? Right? What kind of witness is it if, as believers, we're more confused, struggling with more condemnation and guilt, believing that we have no value even more than the world does in the places that we attend school or work? What kind of witness to Jesus is that? What kind of witness to Jesus that they're modeling and watching this up and down Christianity where I'm on fire one day and I lose the truth the next day? See, what you gotta go to if you wanna progress as a leader and mature as a believer is that you have to allow the truth to begin to change the way you think. So for example, a lot of us, it's like this. You go, this feels amazing. It feels like tonight that God loves me and I'm forgiven. But Wednesday, the feeling of condemnation comes back and it feels like I'm not forgiven. And so therefore, I'm no longer forgiven anymore. Feelings. Everyone say feelings. But if you live your life from feelings, James already talks about it. You'll be like a double-minded mind. Everything you do will be unstable. It's like a double wave that you can't surf and goes everywhere. And it's just confusing. You're basically a walking ball of confusion and usually stressful to be around. How many of you have ever been stressful to be around and you know you're stressful to be around? Because you're stressing even yourself out by how stressful you're stressing other people out. Are you tracking with me? You're like, I know I'm a burden. I know you need to pray. I know you need to pray. No. Right? And then this is even more embarrassing. How many of you are repeat prayer clients? They're like, I need you to pray. I can't tell you people like, I like prayed for a month ago. What's up, man? How you been doing? I just need prayer. I was like, what's up, man? I'm ready. Let's pray right now. What's going on? The same thing as last month? Did you read the verses I told you to read? No, I didn't get to that. I haven't gotten to that yet. Just the raging battles of spiritual realms. I'm like, what? No, stop, man. You want an easier way, but there's not an easier way. Everyone say there's no easy way. So let's look at some verses, can we? And then here's what I'm going to do is I'm gonna give you my notes really quick so you can follow along with me. Can we put the little slide on the screen, the Bible QR code slide? If you want to open and follow along with me tonight, I'm not going to be able to get to each of these subjects. My goal is to get into enough of each subjects to get you to want to follow along. So you can open this up. I have two I didn't buy. These are free resources. So I literally limited myself to free resources that you can get online. I want to show you of how you have Google. You can be a mature believer in Jesus Christ. So here's what I did. I pulled two Bible studies from a lady named Diane Dew, who's an amazing lady. She aggregates these Bible studies. I had Chloe on our team, Brave Love team. Where's Chloe from the Brave Love team? She helped me right over, not this Chloe, different Chloe, not my sister, other Chloe. And she helped me get all this together. And then we have one at the end from my dad, Brian Brown. But I want to look at two verses. Can we look at two verses? Ephesians 4, that's not in the notes. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. Everyone say, futility of their thinking. So what is he saying? He's like, hey, you're not called to live like the unbelieving world who lives in cyclical thinking of negativity. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Okay, but here again comes the good news. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. Everyone say, put off. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires and made new in the attitude of your mind. Everyone say, attitude of my mind. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Meaning that you were not created to be God, you were created to think like God thinks about you, which is rightly, which is purely. Okay, so everyone say, put off,
put on.
So if we're going to renew our attitudes in our mind, renew our way of thinking so that we can align and live from truth instead of live from our feelings, we have to be able to identify things, ways of thinking that do not line up with the scripture and put them off and put on the newness of the scripture. Can we look at another verse? Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the flood came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Okay, how many of you live from disaster to disaster? Don't raise your hand. How many of you feel like you're in the movie Groundhog's Day and you're repeating your same storyline over and over again? How did I get into another toxic relationship? How did I end up broke and in debt again? How did I end up lonely and not knowing what I'm supposed to do with my life? How did I end up here? Chances are it's because what you're building and what you're making decisions on is not the truth of the word, it's your feeling in your heart. But the scriptures tell us that our heart is wicked and deceitful. Mean that your heart can lie to you. How many of you have experienced your heart lying to you? You thought you wanted something, got it, and you didn't want it anymore. It lied to you. And it's wicked, meaning it doesn't want good things. How many of you know that you've wanted bad things? How many right now, if I had a special device and I could bring you up on the stage and I could scan your mind, and it would like play it on the screen, you would want to volunteer for that? One guy wants to volunteer for that. Praying for you. All right, so, or maybe you should pray for me. I don't know. So, like, so we know that our heart can be continually deceiving us. That's why Jesus is saying, hey, I don't want your life to come crashing down all the time. You're not supposed to live from cycle of disappointment to disappointment. You're supposed to be building a legacy, but you only can build a legacy that lasts if you build it on the truth. Can I make a case one more moment for why you need to build your life on the truth? How many of you, most of you are too young for this, but like you're not going to be thinking this way yet. I'm just starting to think this way. But how many of you go, I would love my future boyfriend, my future girlfriend, or maybe you're married, your husband, your wife, that you would like them to feel secure in your love? So like a third of us. Okay, so are you afraid she's going to leave? You got to make her feel insecure? I don't know. So we all say we want to make them feel secure in our love. Only women are saying yes. Men, would we like them to feel secure in our love? Okay, so we want there to be security, safety in our relationship. Man, we need to do a desperate relationship night. All right, so New Year. All right, so, okay, so, right? But if you are controlled by insecurity, if your life is dominated insecurity, will that reflect in your relationship, yes or no? Okay, now fast forward. You're married and you have an insecure, you're an insecure person, so you've created an insecure marriage. Okay, now you have kids. Do you want your kids to be confident or insecure? Right? Peppa the Pig isn't going to be enough. Right? Blue's Clues might be making a comeback. Maybe that will help. But, right, the point being is, right, you want those kids to be confident. And so the work you put in now to build your life on the truth, the greater blessing and legacy you can walk in. Are you tracking with me? See, so many people want to live a spiritually alive life if it's easy. But a lot of people don't want to live a spiritually alive if it requires a lot of work. And changing the way you think takes a lot of work. I heard it does. Yes, it does take a lot. For example, if you thought you were a loser for 22 years, and you think one time at Monday night, I declare I'm not a loser, I'm a winner and victorious in Jesus. It's Wednesday, you're like, I feel like a loser again. This stuff doesn't even work. No, it's not a magic potion like, I am victorious in Christ, and because you repeat after me, now your mind has changed from 22 years of thinking. You have to put off something, and you have to put on something. All right, shall we get to our Bible study? Let's turn to page one right now. Let's turn to page one of our Bible study, shall we? Is this helping you? So my goal is if I can get you into this, get you excited about this, then I'm going to help hopefully push you forward to do all three of these Bible studies this week. This week, my goal is for the most wild, voracious readers. I want more men at a coffee shop reading in Orange County tomorrow morning. I want a spike on the chart of Bible reading men sitting somewhere looking at these verses saying, I'm going to build my life on the truth. Ladies, I already know you're going to the coffee shop. All right, so let's look at this first thing. I feel condemned. I don't feel forgiven. I feel that I'm in trouble with God, and I'm not sure if God is angry. How many of you have related this feeling at some point in your life? Four of us. Bummer. All right. So these are for these four, I guess. All right, here we go. Let's look at this. So what it's going to do is they're going to give simple statements of summaries of these verses, and then we're going to read some verses. And I want to show you how the word begins to transform your mind if it lets you. Are you ready for this? Number one, God is faithful to forgive our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Meaning this, that God will never change his mind about being willing to forgive you. Do you believe that? It's time to start putting it on in your mind. Number two, through Jesus Christ and because of the debt he paid, we can draw near to God with freedom and with boldness. Now, I want you to think about this. What kind of person can you come into a room with freedom? You know, you can't come into your boss's room with freedom. What's up, boss? Woo-hoo-hoo. Right? He's like, yo, man, you're fired, right? Like, there's not freedom with your boss, right? Like, if you work at Starbucks, there's not like, you can't be doing crazy stuff behind there. You're going to get kicked out. And two, how many people do you feel bold to come before them with whatever your needs are, with whatever's going on? How many people in your life are you truly vulnerable with? Like, not just the Christian wall comes down. I'm talking about all the walls come down. Like, it's just unfiltered flow of what's happening in your life. Some of you are naturally transparent, but how many of you people, like, but that's what the Bible is telling us, that you can be confident that you can approach God with the freedom of your personality, with the freedom of who you are, and in boldness that he's excited to see you. Can we look at a verse? 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. Colossians 1:21. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by death in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. Meaning that when you enter into the throne room in the morning in prayer, Jesus, I want to come to you. Are you relating with Jesus in such a way that when you come before God, that you literally are above reproach? That's meaning that you are unaccusable. You are unaccusable. There is not something that the enemy has on you and can keep on you. Right? Some of us live in such fear that some of the things in our past would come out to people. Some of us are holding secrets that we don't want anyone to know, we don't want to think about. We just want to try to forget. You hate that I'm even bringing it up because now it's going to take you 2 days to forget. Are you tracking with me? But you don't need to be that way with Jesus. Jesus is saying, hey, when you're with me, you're not being accused. Who's accusing you? Because you're not forgiven because of you, you're forgiven because of God. You're forgiven because of what Jesus has done for you. That way that every morning, do you run to your quiet time knowing that God is already seeing you as you will be in heaven? He's not seeing you as you are now in areas of immaturity. He's already seeing who you will become. Can we keep going? Number three, Scripture describes the completeness of our forgiveness in Him. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all your sin. Our God, for He will abundantly pardon. All our past sins have been forgiven. I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, we remember sins. I remember sins. Right? How many of you have forgiven someone, but it was awkward for a week? You know what I'm talking about? Hey, man, I'm super sorry. I trashed you to everybody else and said a bunch of horrible things to you and did a bunch of horrible things too and then told other people that you were horrible. Yeah, I'm sorry about all that, right? Like, and you're like it's hard not to go, wow, that guy, I can't believe what he's did. Some of us are trying to forget the bad things people did so that we can see them in a new light. See, the kind of forgiveness God has is totally different than you and me. But if you get into the truth of the Scripture, all of a sudden it's so fun because God is like, what are you still confessing this? It's already been forgotten. This is how I imagine. I imagine I'm coming before God and I'm going, Lord, I'm so sorry again. And He's going, why are you saying sorry? What are you talking about? I'm like, God, but yesterday I literally told somebody off and I feel horrible about it. I hurt my friend's feelings. Feel horrible about it. He's like, you already repented like three times yesterday. I don't remember. See, are you going to carry it on because you still feel guilty? Or are you going to live from the reality that you have been fully and totally forgiven from God? How would you live your life every day if you walked as your default as forgiven? Versus a temporary reality you feel on a spiritual high at the end of a service. How would you act? How would you love? How would you be generous? What would your friendships be like if every day you got up and go, I am blameless before God? The truth transforms you. Can we keep going? God has blotted out our transgressions. He has cast them into the depths of the sea. I love that language. Our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Scripture says our sins are covered up. God does not look at them anymore. It's like, God, look at what I did. And He's like, I'm not going to look. I've already forgiven it. It's gone. See, some of us are just still living, continuing to look. And you know what? You're really bothered. You're bothered by your cycles of sin that you keep stumbling into. Oh, this addiction. Oh, man, this thing. Oh, this. But you know what's so crazy? I bet if you actually received the real forgiveness of Jesus, and you let it penetrate your soul, and you quit arguing and bartering with grace and actually received it fully instead of receiving it partly. I receive it, okay, Lord, I'll receive the first half of the payment, and then when I do better, I'll really believe I'm forgiven. I wonder if you actually received the fullness of that forgiven, if you would still struggle like you struggle. I wonder if you receive the fullness of that grace, what your life would be like every single day. We are washed whiter than snow. Can we keep going? God has cast all of our sins behind His back. God requires, okay, so are we tracking here right now? Okay, so when you feel like a goofball, right? How many feel like a goofball sometimes? Just checking, okay. Okay, more people now. We're getting more honest. All right, that's good. Okay, so you feel like a goofball sometimes. What you want to do is you want a quick resolve. You want a prayer. You want someone to help, you know, power encounter it away. But what God is saying, change your thinking. Change your thinking is what Romans says. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. The brain. How many of you guys ever watched a crazy brain video about neural pathways? Did you know that your thinking creates neural pathways to make it easier to get to those thoughts? Isn't it crazy that the Bible already knows that your literal brain can be renewed and that it can be reshaped? For example, this is intense, but if you look at pornography, it actually changes your brain. Did you know that? It literally changes the makeup of your brain. But if you repent and you stop looking at it, within 90 days, your brain will return to its original form. Literally, God has put in your physical body the ability to renew your mind. So if every single time your friend looks angry, how many do this? Someone looks angry, you assume you did something wrong. Come on. I know a few more than you, right? Their tone is off on the call. What did I do? What did I do? The text didn't have the, normally it's three emojis. There was no exclamation point this time. Lord, what did I do? How did I? And right away, your immediate reaction is, I done something wrong. Neural pathway, boom, jumping. And this is where you got to go. This is not the truth. This is my reaction of how I feel. I'm going to put off how I used to feel, the old man, the old woman, and I'm going to put on the new. I'm going to put on the new. Everyone say, put on the new. Okay, but you're like, no, I put on the new. Put on the new. I'm doing it. I'm reading the verses. I'm doing what you tell me to do. Behold, it was for my welfare that I had great bitterness, but in love you have delivered my life from the pit of destruction, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. Yes, Lord, you've cast my sins behind your back. Cast your sins behind your back. I'm right in my mirror, right in my face, right on my car, right on. Like, okay, like you're going crazy trying to replace, but it doesn't, it's got to seep into your soul, and you got to be willing to trust that this is more true than how you think right now. Because if you're deceived, you're deceived. Like we think like the Bible's like the enemy deceives us, like, oh yeah, like tricks us, like pranks us. No, he deceives you. You're like, there's a band playing right now. That's you in your life. And Jesus is like, there's no band playing, man. There's no one even on the stage. Nick's up there. No, man, the band is up there. I can hear the music. Translation. No, I just don't feel like I'm loved. I feel like I'm alone. And God's like, you're alone? You live with like 15 people. Your mom calls you twice a day. You're in 14 group texts. You have 700 followers on Instagram. I'm alone. I feel it. And you look as goofy right now as standing up interrupting me saying, no, there's a band on the stage. No, Nick, I promise you. And I'm like, no, the truth is there's no band. The truth is you're not alone. You have to put off and say, you know what? I'm done trusting my own way of thinking. It hasn't got me very far. See, a lot of us don't want to change our thinking until it's painful enough to want to change. That's the problem. You would rather feel lonely than change. Why do we do it? You would rather feel condemned than change. Why do you do it? I don't know. Maybe it's fear. But you need to cast your fears on the goodness of God, that this is the gospel. This is why it's good news. This is why you can live with overflowing joy. My dad had a terminal disease. He passed away this last year. Nobody could outdo my dad in joy. I'm telling you. Infatigable in joy. He would be in 9 out of 10 pain, barely could breathe, and he would have more joy and would not talk about himself, not ask for prayer, look at you, pull out your dream, tell you can do it, tell you the three spiritual gifts God has given you, look at you and somehow know what happened in your past, tell you that it's all forgiven. God's going to be, you're crying all of a sudden, and you're walking out 25 minutes later going, I don't even know what happened. All I know is I encountered such a joyful force of life coming from him is because my dad's whole paradigm flowed from the truth. He had more, he trusted more of what this book says about you than your own report about you. Some of you feel you don't gonna make it, but I have such confidence to stand up here because I know that God is the author and finisher of our faith. So you're like having a meltdown, your life isn't gonna work out. I'm going, dude, I'm sorry, I don't believe you. I believe this more. See, everything begins to change when all of a sudden you humble yourself before the words of God and say, Lord, I'm done being a co-author. And I'm just going to let you be the author of how you feel about me. I'm going to let you be in charge of my personality. I'm going to let you be in charge of my, and you start retiring all the things and lies and people have said in your past and what your mama said and what your daddy said and what that eighth grade bully told you in the corner one day, and you're living under it still and you're proving somebody wrong. There's got to be a moment when you just get tired, man, and just go, I'm done. I want to live in the truth. Can we keep going? And the Bible's always sure to also keep it real with us. Because we have a propensity to use things and make it fake. Like, we are suckers for religion. We are. We ruin stuff with religion all the time. God wants a relationship, but I want a formula. No, I'm being honest. I mean, I do want a formula. I just want to be able to go, in Jesus' name, I want to do the four R's. Jesus, I repent for believing that I'm not accepted by you. I affirm that you're with me, that my future is going to work out. Two, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. Three, Lord, I rebuke the enemy. Man, we love to rebuke. I was on the phone with someone the other day, man. They rebuked every demon probably on the earth. I don't even know. I mean, we rebuked every possible demon known to man. I don't even know. It was like 20 minutes straight of rebuking the enemy. And I loved it. I think things really did happen. But imagine, though, if that's all you did. I have so many friends that are tormented. They pray. I'm going to get in trouble. They love these spiritual warfare prayers. They're playing over themselves. In the name of Jesus, I bind this, I bind this, I bind this, I bind this, and every curse formed against you and every demonic thing coming against you and everything coming against you. And I love it. I'm all for it. I'm like, I literally love spiritual warfare. But if you don't get to the, I really do, I promise. I really do. I do it all the time. One of the craziest spiritual warfare people you ever met. I promise you. But if you don't spend the time then to replace, what's the good of any of that? Let's make a war analogy. If this is like the front line, okay? And the enemy's over there, and we're like, charge! Yeah! Rebuke, rebuke! Yeah, yeah, yeah! We're like, yeah, yeah, this is awesome authority in Christ! And you're like, all right. And the enemy's like confused. He's like, oh, you're just gonna walk back over, and I'm just gonna give you all the ground back. Come back over. You're like, this demon's so strong. This addiction's so strong. I can't change. The generational curse is so powerful, no man can break it. I need a miracle. Man, I did go on Witch Talk one time. I accidentally got on there. The witch must have cursed me. You watched Harry Potter, didn't you? It's over for you. Your calling's been canceled, right? Like, it's like, and our own lack of being willing to replace is what is giving the enemy. It's not the Lord giving, like allowing you to be in this crazy battle. It's you allowing yourself to be in a crazy battle. He's just like watching. He's like, no, please, please, please. I have retaken this hill 76 times last year with you. My future will be great. No one loves me. Like, it's just like, right? It's like, what is happening? You have to replace. Let's look at this. Some clarity coming into mind right now. God requires more than confession with the mouth. It is the heart with which he is really concerned. Whoa. So God is after us to actually change our thinking, the thinking of our heart, to a brand new compass, and it's rooted in this book. See, if you really want to take, you know what scares the enemy more than your rebukes is if you believe this. I will take somebody who actually believe they have the favor of God and are a son of God on my spiritual attack team more than the ultimate spiritual warfare master. Because when you are in your identity and you're living in the truth, a lot of times you live above a lot of spiritual warfare. Because things that used to touch you don't touch you anymore. Because they've already tried that. The enemy comes knocking like, oh, this will get in this time. Dude, your past disqualifies you. Your past disqualifies you. They're going to find out. You're not going to be empowered. It's not going to work out. You have no calling. And you're ugly. Okay, so like, and so... You're like, man, I have no calling and I'm ugly. This is horrible. But there comes a day where, right, maybe it starts first. You hear the knock and you're walking to open it. And maybe you crack it. You're like, oh, 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 oh. I remember what happens when I crack this door. I'm going to keep this closed. Go back over to whatever you're doing, making your hot pocket, making some top ramen. I don't know what you're doing in the kitchen. Go about your business. All of a sudden, the knock comes back. And this time, you take two steps. You're like, no, I'm not even gonna do that. The third time, You look at the door. You're like, I'm not going to open it. The fourth time, you don't even pay mind. The fifth time, you don't even hear it anymore. Because the enemy's in your life, and the lies are in your life because you're letting them have an argument with you still. You're in negotiation still. You think that they can negotiate with you. They think that they can negotiate your future with you. You think that they can negotiate your identity with you. They can mediate your forgiveness in Jesus. And so you're at the table like, okay. Okay, all right, you're right. I do stink a lot. So I'll feel bad for 3 days this week, and then the next day I'll do four once I do good enough. And you come to some kind of religious mediation when you need to walk away from the table completely and go, why are you still having that conversation with the enemy? Why don't you just decide to plant and build your life on the truth and put off the old self and put off the old voices and put off the old accusations and fully walk into the new? Can I keep going for another moment? Now, there's some addendums. Everyone say addendums. There's key things that the Bible is going to tell you that you need to know because he's trying to explain how God's kingdom works. And if you just stop with what I'm saying right now, you might not catch the fullest. That's why you guys study the Bible. Everyone say study the Bible. You actually have to study it because there's other things you need to know. It's not all just surface revelation. See, sometimes the bummer is that we try to avoid telling you the bad news, but if we don't tell you the bad news and the good news, then you can't get real freedom. You need the whole truth so you can really live your life on the truth. Okay, so here's what it says. The continual forgiveness of our sin is a day-by-day walk, but with God, it's contingent on something, on our forgiveness of other people. So, okay, so maybe we did all this, and you're closing the door, but you still feel condemned. My question to you, do you have bitterness towards other people? Because you don't feel forgiven because God is withholding forgiveness, the scripture says, until you forgive. Let's look at Matthew 6:15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Holy smokes. Okay, wait. It gets worse. God demands true repentance, a complete turnaround, the forsaking of our own way. John 8:11 says, No one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So far there's two requirements to walk in the full reality of feeling forgiven and two requirements only. Number one, if God is going to show you mercy and forgive you of things that you don't deserve to be forgiven of, that means that you have to live in a culture of forgiving other people that don't have the right to be forgiven either. Are you tracking with me? So if you've lived in total open doors of sin, but you're still angry at your mom and you won't let her off the hook, God goes, you can't participate. Because you don't get it. That's just pride in your life. You think that somehow you're better than your mom. See, the one thing that Jesus hates is self-righteousness. He does not like it. I think Stanford said he hates it. He does hate it. It's true. He hates self-righteousness so much so that he will withhold his forgiveness until you humble yourself and you realize that you're no different than your mom, that you're no different than your sister. You're no different than that kid your freshman year. You're no different than the person who hurt you. You know what? You don't know your life. Maybe you end up becoming just like the pastor who betrayed you. You don't know your life. Maybe if God hadn't shown you the kind of grace he has, you would have become exactly like him. What if the only difference between why you're turning out the way you are and that person's not turning out the way they are is because God decided to give you more grace? And you're like, oh, it's what I'm doing. I'm such a better person. God's like, no, you're not. You have received more grace. Why did you stumble into all these people that love the Lord? How did you get to a Monday night? How did you hear a message on replacement? How did you get to this moment and someone speaking straight to your heart? How does the Holy Spirit all of a sudden begin to invade your life? How did you end up at CR Experience? How did you end up deciding to give your life to missions? Why are you not bitter when everyone else in your hometown is? How did you make it out of a situation that none of your friends did? Grace. Mercy. Mercy, grace is undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. Undeserved favor, meaning you, and favor isn't fair. It isn't. I don't know why it is. I don't know why you made it out. All I know is I stand back and say, God, I'm just thankful. God, I'm just thankful right now. I'm thankful that you gave me favor. And so he's saying, hey, when you get in that mindset, you keep those accounts short. You're angry at your boyfriend? Jesus, I forgive him. You're angry with? She said, I'm not forgiving nobody. She said, what? Oh, I ain't worried about it. Amen. Praise God for the ministry. All right, so, right? You want a new future, but you won't forgive those in your past. Cut the chain of the past. Extend forgiveness. Why is your eighth grade PE teacher living in your head? Why is he living there? Kick him out. Forgive him. Release him. He's not coming back. He's not going to send you a message on Facebook and say, I repent. He forgot you. I'm sorry. Forgive him. Move forward. And number two, be ready to actually change. It's amazing how if I move a little, God will move the rest. It's amazing how quickly God is not the kind of God, because we already know that he loves to forgive. He's cheerful about it. So it's not like, he's not like us where I'm like, hey, dude, you betrayed my trust four times. Four times. This day, this day, this day. And you know what? You're going to have to prove it to me this time. God's not that way. You begin to turn and go, man, I think I'm done with this addiction. Lord, I want to fully change. I need to live in transparency. I want to live in accountability. I know there's an addiction component. I'm going to get actual help for that. I'm going to seek out help for that. I'm going to chuck my laptop in the bushes. I'm going to get a flip phone for 6 months. I'm serious about living pure. I'm going to go for it. And you just turn like this, turn like this. It's amazing how then all of a sudden joy sweeps into your heart. God begins to bring people to help you find freedom in your life. He begins to move you forward. And all you got to do is just keep cooperating and deciding to live differently. Because remember, Jesus erases what we did before. And so he treats every time like a new time. And he's going, yes, yes, yes. In the story of the prodigal son, how much is the father? Does he have any I told you so? Zero. Zero. Almost awkwardly not. Almost like a non-acknowledgement at what he did. So much so that it makes the other son angry. God is so merciful that you feel like it's unjust how merciful he is. That's how merciful God is. God, you need to say something to that guy. You know how many people in this place he hurt? He's like, he's come home. Let's celebrate him. He's turned his heart towards me. No, man, you gotta know what he did. And God's like, no, this is mercy. This is undeserved favor. We're celebrating. Go get a steak. Put it on the grill. We're getting Wagyu out tonight. We're going crazy mode. All right. Are you tracking with me for a moment? So imagine if you began to live out this truth. Okay, last one. You ready for this? Last thing that God needs from you. You must expose and confess your sin. No. How many of you are silent forgiver, like kind of like prayer guys in your head? I did it. What'd you do? I asked forgiveness. For what? No. Like what are you praying about? Unspoken prayer requests. Like, dude, like, I don't know. That was something when I was a kid. Like, what's up with that? Like, no, speak it. You have to confess it. Why? Because God wants relationship from you. He wants you to expose that dark thing in your heart so that he can forgive it and show you his love. Oh, man. Can we look at this? Psalm 32. Look at David. He's just tormented. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Okay, so now he's going to go into how he feels condemnation mode. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted through my groaning all day long. So he's keeping his sin secret. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. How many of you cannot feel better until you tell somebody? And this is like me. I feel crushed under the guilt of what I'm carrying. But I acknowledged my sin to you and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. See, the final thing that God needs for you to feel fully forgiven is to come before him in such a way that you go, Lord, I'm going to be fully honest. One of the things I hate about repentance is that God knows everything. And so he makes me be fully honest. I don't like that part. Because I like to apologize with a little bit of excuse. How many of you are, I'm so sorry, but types? I'm so sorry, but you know, today was just a tough day. Pray for me. You know, it's like, no, like, just say you're sorry with no excuse. Right? I can't tell you how many times before the Lord I'm walking in condemnation. And I can't get it off me because God goes, you need to be a little bit more honest. You wanted to sin. You saw that it was dark and you wanted it still. And once I said that word, it was like forgiveness washed over me. Forgiveness washed over me because I was honest about the real sin in my life and the real sin in my heart. And as I exposed it to God, God fully washed over it with his forgiveness. God knows everything. And he wants to walk in complete step with you. He wants you to walk in the truth. He wants you to live a life from the truth. I mean, I can't even get in this. We got to land the plane here. But I mean, let me just give you like one point for the next one. How many of you feel like you struggle with your calling, where you're going with life? You can't figure out your purpose. Right here, literally, verse after verse of how to find your purpose. Can I just blow your mind with like two of them really quick? Number one, this is so crazy. Check out what God's primary purpose is for you. Let's look at the top, some of this top six purposes for your life. Your sanctification, meaning you becoming more like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. So you're like, God, what do I do with my life? And he's like, no, that's not the purpose right now. It's who are you supposed to become? What am I supposed to do? And he's like, who are you supposed to become? Who am I supposed to do? No, who are you supposed to become? Who am I supposed to do? Character. He's like, no, I want a job description. I want value from what I'm doing. And God's like, no, I want you to see that there's value intrinsically in who you are because I say there's value in you. Dude, I just saved like 500 coffee dates if you got that. Do you realize that if you just accept who you are, it'll be clear what you're supposed to do? And that, doesn't it funny that when you end up getting instructions of what you're supposed to do, you're empty still? Because what's the point of living the story if you're not living in the right character? Right? It's like being in a Lord of the Rings movie, but you're like the tiny hobbit guy, the guy that rides on the tree. What's that guy's name? Pippin. Who wants to be Pippin? If you watch that actor, I love your character. But like, who wants, right? You want to be Aragorn. You want to be somebody else. You want to be a main character, right? If you just have your to-do list but never become the person you're supposed to become, you can't fully live the story. Number two, let's just look at another one. Can't we look at another one? Number two. Ooh, this is, I feel scared. He wants to make you thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You're like, no, what's your will for me? He's like, be thankful. It's amazing. It's amazing if you have thankfulness in your life. If you're a griper, you're always confused. If you're a complainer, some of you are soapbox complainers. You just need your case to be heard. The world is ripping me off. My boss is ripping me off. My family's ripping me off. My friends are ripping me off. My pastor's ripping me off. It's all a system. Don't you know? It's a system, and it's all against you, and it's going to come for you, and it's going to eat you, and Biden's against you, and Trump's against you, and they're actually the same person. They're lizard creatures. It's crazy. Like, you're just like, whoa, what's happening? I need a vacation immediately. I need to be evacuated. I need security. Right? What's happening right now? Isn't it crazy if you're constantly unthankful and you're constantly criticizing? If God even brought your calling into your life, you wouldn't seize it, you'd criticize it. I wonder how many of you have criticized the friend that you need that's going to pull you into your calling. I wonder how many of you have criticized the church that's going to save your life. I wonder how many of you judge the pastor that you would submit to, you'd have a great marriage one day. But when you have faithfulness in your heart, everything becomes clear. God's like, you have a job, because when you're complaining, you can't see people. When you're thankful, you see everyone. I hate my work. Hate my school. Hate OC. I like LA. Hate LA. I like OC. San Diego is the real vibe. I hate California. New York. I hate New York, and I hate California. Michigan. I hate Michigan. Texas. I hate Texas. Tennessee. Like, it's just like, but you're, if you were at your work with things, Lord, I'm so thankful you placed me here. So thankful you placed me here right now, Lord. And Lord's like, hey, I want you to go talk to that person. What? Yeah, go talk to him. Just start a conversation. Build a relationship. You're in the break room. All of a sudden, connection. All of a sudden, there's emptiness in their life. And Lord's like, that's why you're here. Talk to that person. Well, Lord, what about the masses? I came for the one. I don't like my assignment. All right, let's work on the first one. Sanctification. Becoming like me. Character. Back to the drawing board. See, so much of your worry in life right now is because you don't understand what God's priorities are. But if you arrange your priorities according to God, you'd realize you're not behind, you're in the exact right place. How many watched a Grant Cardone video before? He's got like a Lamborghini and a jet, and he's like, you could have millions of dollars if you take my course. And maybe he's right. I've never taken it. I have no idea. But all I know is the more I see that kind of stuff all the time, I go, man, I'm a loser. I do. I was like, man, I should own a house. All my friends in other states own houses. I like live in a rental home on the bottom floor with 24 other people. Like sometimes in the past, not in the last 2 years, but well, last year and a half, I would go secretly at night and just look on like job boards, like what do I get paid if I did this in the real world? And I was like, I get paid that health insurance. Jesus help me. But see, God's not worried about the things of this world. He's worried about the things of his kingdom. And he's primarily wanting to form me to be like him, to grow in thankfulness. And there's four or five other things on here that you can get. All right, I'm going to give you the last one. Are you ready for this? And I'm going to land the plane. I'm going to give you a little intro to the third one. I'm trying to tempt you into these Bible studies right now in a good way. Am I enough? Am I enough? Am I enough? Your identity. I'm telling you, probably the greatest war over your life is your identity. Because you live out of who you believe you are. Let me say that again. You live out of who you believe you are. If you don't believe you belong in the room, you'll never walk in. For example, if you actually believe that you were royalty. Man. I'm going to tie it to you, whoever that is back there. Right, if you actually believe, that's your housemate. If you actually believed your royalty, can I share a story? Last night, Sunday? Yeah, Sunday night. I was in a prayer call, and I was uncomfortable because there was a bunch of people producing a movie, and I only knew one or two of the people on there, maybe three, and the rest of them, I had no idea who they were, and I'm like new to this kind of this world. They're producing this beautiful film, and they wanted prayer to keep praying for the production to go good. And I get on there, and I look at my wife. She's over the couch over there, and I look at the Zoom screen. And I go, they're gonna ask me to pray. Either I say what I'm hearing, or I pray a cute prayer. Lord, we bless the production. We bless it, Jesus. Amen. But I pray with Emily, and I heard there were six things coming against it. So I heard there was spiritual warfare coming against their production. And then I felt in my spirit, it's supposed to be, it's the movie has an adoption theme. So it's going to catalyze, I really believe, this big adoption movement. And so I look at the screen and I go, no, God, you invited me on this call. I'm going to walk in my identity right now as your son and as royal. I'm living for the audience of one right now, not for the approval of people I don't know. And I'm going to be obedient to know that I belong in this conversation. And I'm going to say exactly. And I go, I don't know how many of you are charismatic or Pentecostal. If you're evangelical, I live part-time there. But I'm going to go Pentecostal for a few minutes. There are six assignments coming against this film. I feel like we've heard these in prayer. We're believing this. And literally, the Holy Spirit breaks out on the call and proceeds for an hour and 10 minutes of power breaking out. And the wildest praying I have been a part of in a while. What happens when you live your identity? I don't have a position at my work. But Wait, hold on. So you need a position to have influence. I think that the person who actually knows who they are has more influence if you had a position. For example, I'll give you whatever title you want. I might be able to beat you if I actually believe more who I am. Do you need a position to believe who you are? Or can you just believe who you are because of who God says you are? If he calls you a favorite son, meaning that when you do things, things go in your favor. How much would this change your life right now if you literally believed that things would go good, actually, if you tried? And if they went bad, it was God protecting you. If you just had that one belief in your life, if you actually lived that way, that you assumed things were going to go in your favor, you assumed God would give you a promotion. You were surprised if he didn't. You assumed that the friendship was going to be amazing. You assumed the relationship was going to go good. You assumed your mom was going to want to talk to you on the phone. You assumed the confrontation was going to go good. You assumed that God was going to take care of all your needs instead of believing that he's not. How much would that change your life alone? See, when you live in your identity, everything changes. Let's look at a couple of these. Can we just look at a couple of these things really quickly? I'm going to look at one. Number one, I'm secure in Christ's love for me. Romans 8, 35 to 39. I'm an overwhelming conqueror in Christ and in Christ against all that would come against me. Overwhelming, that means easy victory. Maybe it's difficult in the moment and it feels hard, but it's easy to the Lord. I'm going to look at one more on here. I'm looking for it right here. I am a child of God. My personal heavenly Father intimately and infinitely loves me. How many of you would go to any lengths to make sure that your kids end up becoming who they're supposed to become? And yet we still are having an argument over the enemy that God is not going to be faithful to bring you to where you're supposed to go. I wish you'd live in the truth. Because if you live in the truth, everything's going to change. Your life is going to change. People are going to be drawn to you. Because you know what? They're looking for truth. In a world that is so angry about truth, it's amazing how everyone's looking for it. In a world that's so offended by the truth, it's amazing how everyone's actually desperate for it. See, I have found the more controversial things that are in Scripture, as soon as I teach the word and say what the Bible says, it's like clarity comes to our hearts and our minds. Because the truth sets us free. Sets us free. It's not just prayer that sets you free. It's the truth that sets you free. Everyone say the truth. I'm going to have the worship band going to come back out. And I'm going to give you a challenge as we do that. And then we're going to end and pray. We'll worship for a little bit more. Here's my challenge to you. Is I don't want you just to come and listen to this. This is either can be an encouragement or this can be a life-changing moment where you change the direct trajectory of your life. This can be a temporary encouragement in a battle that you're in right now, or it can be the turning of a tide of a new level of winning in your life. See, I want you to win at life, but you need to live your life in the truth. You need to bake yourself in the truth. So I'm going to show you how I would do this. Can I literally do it as cheesy as I do it? Okay. Hey, can we play Spotify up there? I don't know if it's going to get banned on YouTube or something, but let's see what happens. All right. I want you to play a song called Praying in Secret by Eric Gilmore. Yeah. Just want you to play a song. I'm going to let you show you how cheesy my prayer time is right now. Yeah, I'm going to just show you so you really get. See if we can play this really quick. Do you feel it? I put this on repeat. It's like a 6-minute song. I put it on repeat. Okay, number two. I go somewhere that's private. Everyone say private.
Private.
Everyone say private.
Private.
Now, I don't like to have quiet times. I'm a noisy time type of guy. What's crazy is why would God tell you to go pray in quiet, in secret, if you were supposed to just pray in your head? He says, go in there so no one can hear you praying. I just read this article to the school today. It's amazing. 95% of the commands and cues in the Psalms are to be vocal out loud. So the first step you got to cross the barrier is praying out loud, not just in your mind. You want to instantly upgrade your truth intake? You got to pray things out loud. So this is what I do. I'm a pacer. Some of you might be a sitter, but I get tired in the morning. So I grab my coffee. I drink about 3/4 of the cup, and I start back and forth. Now, this might be new to some of you, but I pray in the spirit for a while. I won't do it to freak you out, but I pray in tongues. And I walk back and forth for about 10 minutes. And I stir myself up in faith that God wants to meet me. Then I go grab my word, grab one of these. Sometimes I study, sometimes I do different things. And I come to it, and I read it, and then I pray it over myself, and I declare it. Even sometimes, remember how Lindy's taught about singing it? Like singing it, you know what I'm talking about? She's like, who was here for that week where you sing the word? Even sometimes I sing it, even though I'm horrible at singing. Like, I'll be like, should I do it? Like, I want to show you how goofy and it looks, but how powerful it is. It's how I'm living the truth. Right? Here we go. So I'll be like, okay, let's do this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So first, I settle for a moment on something that sticks out in the verse. I read it until something sticks out. So to me, when I read this preparing for today, I got stuck on the word faithfulness. And I would start thinking about the ways that that is true in my life already. I literally stop and take time to go, Lord, what are the ways you've been faithful to me? And I'm like, oh man, Lord, you've been faithful. You've been faithful. You provided so many friends. Man, you provided all my financial needs. I live in a great place. I start going with gratitude mode. I go like, man, Jesus, thank you for all these ways that you're being faithful. I'll be like, you're faithful, Jesus. You're faithful, Jesus. You're faithful, Jesus. I'm setting some of you free that can't sing right now. And I sing to Jesus. Wait, I want you to catch this. It's so important. Because it can't just be in my mind. It's got to go into my heart. And so I got to sing this thing in my heart. I got to pray this thing in my heart. I got to declare this thing in my heart. I'm going to fast forward to what happens at the end. Emily is my witness. My wife over there. Everyone say hi, Emily. She's a wonderful, patient woman. All right, so I'm pacing back and forth. And then I'll get stoked on what I just talked about. And I will just bust in our room. Totally, not like with any warning at all. Like she could be doing something and I'm pretty inconsiderate. So I just stop what she's doing. And I just go, I'm burning on something right now. I'm telling you, God has been so faithful to us. And I start preaching it. Before, honestly, where's Chase Gopher? Is Chase here tonight? Is Zach Nash? Oh, Chase, okay, so if Chase is here, maybe Lindy can testify. Before I was married, it would be my roommates. It would be anybody moving. I would go out and I would preach what's true. I would not care if you had something busy to do. I go, God is so faithful to me. It is ridiculous. I'm full of so much joy. I can't wait to what God's going to do next. And I speak faith over my life. Then I go about my day. You do that once, you have a great day. You do that for 3 months, it's going to change your life. It's going to change your life. Everyone say, put off.
Put on.
Put on.
Put off the old.
Put on the new.
Put off the feelings.
Put on the truth.
There's no easy way.
Oh, man. How many of you by faith right now, you have struggled in your quiet time and you need a new anointing and a new discipline to go after this? I want you to raise your hand. Just go ahead. Raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. You can turn, if my music's still playing, you can turn it off. I don't know what, they did a fancy band transition. Oh, wow, this is even better. I need them. I need Junior in my room. All right, so, Lord, we pray right now. We pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we confess we are stubborn. I am stubborn. Lord, I confess being a lawyer. I confess being a negotiator, and I'm sick of the way that I think, and I want to think like you. Jesus, we are done allowing lies to dominate our feelings. We are tired of living from partial truths. And Jesus, we are saying yes to you. I ask right now, Holy Spirit, would you just pour out a special anointing for the secret place? God, I pray all the accusation they hear when they open their Bible, that you would silence that accusation. all the static they feel, every way they feel disconnected from you, we pray that you would break that right now in the... I just feel like I just sense from the Holy Spirit, it's like every time you're with the Lord, we're just going to do the, we're going to do the verse we just talked about in forgiveness. I'm going to make you be honest. It's like every time you come to be with Jesus, all you can think about is all your mistakes and things that you've done in the past. You feel like you're reminded of all the horrible things you've done. Can you just raise your hand if that's you? Come on. Tonight, you're getting forgiven. It's for the love of God for you. It's time to just get forgiven right now. Why don't you say, in Jesus' name, I acknowledge my mistakes in the past. And I say right now, I receive your forgiveness. I'm fully forgiven. Accuser, get out of my secret place. Get out of my room. Get out of my mind. I just keep filling this line, like, do more, you should do more. And every time you're supposed to be with God, you just can't stop thinking about all the ways you could have done it better. That religious pressure is just tormenting you. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Just that religious pressure every time you feel guilty for not doing enough. Just raise your hand real high, real high. You're going to get free right now. I want you to pray with me in Jesus' name. Forgive me for believing that you're an angry boss. You're a loving father. You're a loving father. You enjoy me. I rebuke the bully of religion. Get out of my secret place. Get out of my thoughts. Get out of my mind. I receive that I'm enough. You're not going to be able to earn it. Are you ready for unmerited favor? Pray with me in Jesus' name. I don't deserve it. I'm done trying to earn it. It is this good. It is this good. It is this good. Forgive me for being afraid to believe it's this good. It is this good. You are forgiven. You have an incredible calling. You have decades of impact and fruit to come. You are more than enough. God enjoys you. Your personality is just how it's supposed to be. He likes you. He's not frustrated with your immaturity. He's going to mature you. He's going to grow you. Trust me, life, he'll figure it out. It's all happening. Just why don't you just retire from all that you need to be and just be with God and realize that he loves you so much. Can we all stand? I want you to come forward. I'm gonna lead us very briefly and let the team go. I want you guys, can you sing like a spontaneous chorus in a moment about God enjoying us? Can we do that? I want you to come down if you want to worship. I'm taking you to the secret place here really quick. We're gonna all sing here. Without those singers leading us, without the worship leaders leading us, that God enjoys us, that God enjoys you. I want you to begin to change your inclination that God's frustrated or bothered by you. Close your eyes, wherever you are. Just close your eyes, close your eyes, close your eyes. Holy Spirit, right now, we pray that you would increase and manifest your presence all across this room in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. If you are a good singer, if you are a bad singer, I want you to close your eyes and begin to lift your voice right now. And I just want you to sing a simple phrase. Jesus, you enjoy me. Jesus, you're not bothered by me. Jesus, you love being in my presence. Jesus, you enjoy me. Come on, begin to lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Let's break it off. Let's break this thing off. Let's just go there with him. Let's get vulnerable together. Jesus, you enjoy us.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, Visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.